It's time for Big Blue Kickoff Live. Only on Giants.com.
Smith back to throw. Has time over the middle. Intercepted by Roll again. Antrell to the 20. Needs a block. Pinball down to the 5. Roll call time. Antrell with back-to-back picks.
Manning back to throw. Steps up. Deep ball down the middle of the field.
He's got Cruz. 35, 30, 20, 10, 5. Touchdown, Giants.
Romo drops straight back to throw. Steps up. Gets hit by Canty.
Pass intercepted by Jason Pierre-Paul. To the 10, to the 5. Touchdown, Giants.
There goes Wilson again. Trying to break to the outside. Wilson cuts it back to his right. Needs a block, and Wilson's going to go. He's to the 10, 5. Touchdown, Giants. 97 yards.
Now here are your hosts, John Schmelk and Lance Meadow.
Welcome to Big Blue Kickoff Live right here on Giants.com. 201-939-4513. 201-939-4513. Good morning, everybody. A couple of hosts without a lot of sleep. A fan base that's probably pretty annoyed. This show is going to be a little bit of fun. Good morning, Lance. How are you?
Doing well. And yes, lack of sleep is probably the perfect description. You probably have less than I do, but we are going to fight through it. Over the next hour, take everybody's phone calls and try to make sense of last night's performance.
Yes,
six turnovers.
I'm still wearing the credential from last night, so that should give people an idea of how late we got back from Dallas. But, yes, and that's where we have to start, Lance. Six turnovers for the Giants, and this really, and we talked about it right before the show, this was the bizarro game where it's usually the Cowboys that have the four or five turnovers, yet they're so talented. They make enough plays that they're still in the fourth quarter, but eventually you're asking too much of your offense and your quarterback to make up for all those mistakes. The Giants were in the exact same situation. What happens? They try to throw a screen pass at Darrell Scott, pops him off of his shoulder, right into the hands of Brandon Carr. Another Dallas touchdown off of a turnover, and the Cowboys seal the victory 36-31. And let's start those turnovers. And Lance, you listen to head coach Tom Coughlin after the game. I haven't heard him that angry in probably 3 or 4 years after a game. The callous disregard for the football and ball protection, particularly singling out anger for David Wilson and his inability to protect the ball, getting stripped twice by the Dallas Cowboys. And you rarely see Tom Coughlin really pick out a guy and go after him. He picked out David Wilson in that press conference, and he answered 3 or 4 questions. He was very direct. It was something that they warned the players about over the course of the week, how the Cowboys love to go after the football, and David Wilson did not protect the football well enough. As Coach Coughlin said in the postgame presser, it's not difficult. You carry the ball with two hands over it. You can practice it. He can do it like every other running back in football. And until he starts doing it, guess what? He ain't going to play.
And they don't have much depth behind David Wilson right now.
No.
Darrell Scott, Michael Cox, two inexperienced running backs. And I know Darrell Scott has been with the team, but keep in mind, coming into last night's game, he only had 11 career carries. So you have to take that into consideration. Now that week one is in the books, you can explore bringing in a veteran running back.
You think?
The contract is no longer guaranteed. So do not be surprised if the Giants tweak with the roster in the coming days. But then again, David Wilson is a first-round pick. They're not going to all of a sudden abandon a guy that they invested so much in.
No, but he's going to have to earn his time back.
Absolutely.
Coach Coughlin, the way he talked after that game, if you think he's just giving him his 20 carries in the next game, it's not happening. It's not going to happen. And quite frankly, I understand why it doesn't want to happen. If you're head coach and you preach something and you tell your players one of the most important things we do is protecting the football, and then one of your players, despite being coached on it over the course of the week, doesn't do that, if you want to keep your team's respect, you can't play him the same amount of plays the next week. I'm not saying put him in the doghouse. Don't play him at all like last year when David Wilson fumbled in week one. That's not the answer. As the player said after the game, they need David Wilson to play well in order for this team to be the football team it can be. But I'm not going to call it a punishment, but there has to be repercussions for not doing what you're told to do on the football field. And David Wilson, just like he did last year, again, not to the same extent, we'll have to earn his way back onto the football field.
Well, you need to send him a message.
Yeah.
The biggest difference, John, between this year and last year was the fact that even if Wilson had some fumble issues, you had Ahmad Bradshaw and Andre Brown healthy last season at this point. Now heading into week two, you have either Michael Cox or Darrell Scott. So it's a different ball game. And you pointed out that the Cowboys love to strip the football. This was a hungry team, John, coming into last night's game. They only had 16 takeaways last year.
Well, they're a third of the way there.
Six in one game, 16 all of last year.
It's almost 40% of the total from all last year. Shows what happens when you have a different defensive coordinator coaching up a different way. And one other thing on David Wilson, and we are going to get to your calls in just a second at 201-939-4513. 201-939-4513. You guys are holding. We'll get to you in a bit, I promise. But I'm not sure if they showed it on TV or not. We noticed it up in the radio booth. I believe it was sometime in the third quarter. And it was after the Cowboys, I believe Dan Bailey kicked his final field goal. And the Giants were setting up for the kickoff. And lo and behold, we look up, we say, oh, wow, look who's back there that's going to return the kick. David Wilson. And all of a sudden, you see Coach Coughlin go onto the field, pretty much, and pull him off and put Michael Cox back in. So it was, we were joking. It's like, no. You get back in the doghouse. You know what I mean? It was kind of one of those.
Now, Wilson responded the last time that he was benched last year.
And I think he'll do it this time, too.
This is not necessarily a bad game plan, because I think a lot of people out there are maybe saying to themselves, you know, he's still a relatively young player. Does this hurt him from a mental standpoint? But the bottom line is, two fumbles, one of which was returned for a touchdown, you can't just continue to stick with him. You have to at least sit him down and explain to him the importance of ball security, especially without Andre Brown in the mix anymore. David Wilson is the anchor of this backfield. Whether or not he understands that, he needs to understand that moving forward, because there's not a lot of experience behind him, and they are going to have to lean on him heavily throughout the course of this season moving forward.
There are a million other things we could talk about, but I don't want you guys to hold any longer. We'll talk about the other stuff along the course of the show. That, I think, is the big story coming out of last night's game. We'll talk about the lack of pass rush. I thought they stopped the run a little bit better. The secondary did a good job. Your red zone defense was pretty good. Offensively, you got to protect the quarterback better. But the passing game looked like it was in midseason form. So some good and bad in this game. The turnovers and David Wilson, obviously the best, biggest story. And we take your calls at 201-939-4513. Let's start out with Andrew in New Jersey, who's been holding the longest. Andrew, good morning. How are you today?
Good. The silver lining, it gets easier next week. I didn't know Eli had a brother. No, it's even could be even worse next week, right? It's against Denver.
Yep.
So there's no easy, no lesser opponent. And speaking of Manning, why didn't he push that guy out of bounds on the interception at the end of the game? He looked like he had the angle, and he let him go past.
Well,
and when Mundy,
Andrew, it looked like Eli had the angle. Unfortunately, he didn't have the speed to take advantage
right.
of that angle, which, by the way, and I made this joke on Twitter last night, by the way, Andrew, Eli not a mobile quarterback, but the only reason they're able to complete that 80-yard pass to Victor Cruz for the touchdown is because Eli did a good job with his pocket presence avoiding the pass-rushing Jason Hatcher, stepping up in the pocket and hitting Victor Cruz. Maybe not the fastest, most athletic guy, but he still used his feet there to create
mm-hmm.
a big play.
And he saw pressure all night last night.
Oh, he did.
Yeah, I was impressed. You don't want him to have pressure, but I was impressed throughout the whole game how he shifted around in the pocket.
Yep.
And he's definitely no Geno Smith with his legs. And also, when Mundy didn't score on the interception, I knew it was still early in the game, but I just somehow knew that was going to come back to haunt us, that we were going to need a touchdown and not a field goal.
Yeah.
Because Cruz, one of his touchdowns, Cruz, he's the only bright spot, and Eli. He held his arm extended. All Mundy really had to do was extend. But I just want to ask you, it might sound trivial, but Kyle Bosworth, the Cowboys signed him just, days before the start of the season. So as a spy, knowing the Giants' audibles and system, compared different when Belichick signed Tebow, because that was in the spring. So the Jets, had all offseason to change their, play their verbiage. So do you think Kyle Bosworth, knowing the system, was able to influence, the game?
Well, honestly, Andrew, I'm not sure that he did, and thanks a lot for the call. We appreciate it. Thanks for calling. I'm going to try to get through the callers kind of quickly today since we have so many people that are going to try to get in and talk about the game from last night. Thank you for giving us a ring. I don't think Bosworth had a big impact in the game in that way, only because I think the Giants' defense, considering the bad position the offense put them in so many times, Lance, actually did a pretty darn good job holding the Cowboys. And it's funny to say, they got held in this game to, 30-something points, but it could have been a lot worse if the defense didn't play as well as they did.
They were handed the Cowboys gifts, and Dallas could not take full advantage of it because of the Giants' defense. The first three turnovers led to only 3 points. It was the last three turnovers that the Cowboys capitalized and wound up scoring a touchdown on each one. But you're right, the Giants' defense, I think, held its own early.
They scored 36. They could have easily scored in the 40s. That first quarter you mentioned, there was only 3 points for Dallas. It could have easily been 17 or even 21 or 14. And the Giants on the field in that game for 74 defensive plays. That's an astronomical amount of plays in this league, 74. But they stuck with it. They did a good job. They got those 2 sacks on Tony Romo on the Cowboys' next-to-last possession to force that quick punt. The Giants just couldn't take advantage. They gave themselves too many opportunities to make another mistake because they put so much pressure on Eli Manning because of those turnovers.
I don't think you could have asked the defense to do anything more in this game last night. You just touched on the fact that they got those late sacks with Linville Joseph and JPP, so they give Eli Manning and company the ball back, and the Giants' offense just could not take advantage of that. So I know Andrew just said, you know, it doesn't get any easier next week with the Broncos, but keep in mind, the defense is the positive to take away from this game. Okay, yes, they're going to be challenged because the Broncos have 3 very talented wide receivers plus a tight end that no one heard of prior to Thursday night in Julius Thomas. However, your defense is still in good shape. You limit yourself with the turnovers, you're probably in a position to win this game last night.
No, you hope you have Prince Amukamara back next week as well, who suffered that concussion. But they did pretty well even after he went out of the game.
And that's why you have depth this season, John. That's why you brought Aaron Ross in. That's why you have Terrell Thomas. In the event that somebody goes down, you have experienced corners.
Well, how about Terrell Thomas? He basically jumped Aaron Ross as the number one slot corner in that game. That took me a little bit by surprise. When Aaron Ross was in the game after Prince went out, he did a darn good job on Dez Bryant, being very physical around the line of scrimmage. I thought they did a great job on Dez Bryant. They paid a lot of attention to him. That's probably why, you know, Miles Austin had his 10, 11 targets and 9 catches over the middle, and that's why Jason Witten was wide open a couple times as well. But they did control Dez Bryant.
Thomas had 7 tackles. That was second on the team last night, and you're right. Aaron Ross did pick up a penalty, but he made Dez Bryant earn each and every one of those catches, and there weren't many to go around for Dez Bryant. That's why Tony Romo had to look the other way.
201-939-4513. And he mentioned Kyle Bosworth, by the way. I should say this. Mark Herzlich did not have the strongest game when he had to step in for Dan Connor. I think that's probably fair to say. Kyle Bosworth, watching that from the Cowboys sideline, was probably smiling a little bit watching that after being cut in place of Mark Herzlich.
Well, he had to be motivated going up against his former team in a short period of time following being cut. And that's why, you know, the Giants, the one thing when you look at this roster, John, it was a surprise that they cut a linebacker, because last night that was probably the one group that you can critique a little bit more than usual, other than maybe Jaquan Williams, who I thought did a nice job aggressively providing somewhat of a pass rush.
Yeah, and I thought Keith Rivers made a couple plays here or there, but in general the linebackers I thought were okay. They stopped the run okay. But again, that's what you're going to get out of that position. And they had to keep Herzlich. They needed a backup middle linebacker. I get that. But, you know, when he was in the game, it really did seem like the Cowboys kind of just went after him when he was on the field.
Well, you have to give the Cowboys credit for that. Connor comes off. Herzlich, I'm not saying he's new to the system, but he had been watching from the sidelines. So that's why Romo immediately threw it up to Jason Witten, and they got the touchdown.
201-939-4513. Dominic's in Pennsylvania. Dominic, good morning.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Doing all right, Dominic. What's up?
Okay, well, the first half was sloppy, but in the second half, I felt Perry Field made the defense readjust, and everyone was there where they needed to be for the most part. The Giants' defense stopped a lot of good plays and gave the offense the opportunity to get back in the game, but there seemed to be some miscommunication between Eli and some of the wide receivers on their routes, and also there's a few plays at Michael Cox. It just seemed like there was no connection between Cox and Eli. But the offensive line made it very difficult for Eli to get into a rhythm with the passing game. Although, you know, there was 3 good, Reuben Randle did extremely well, and Victor Cruz did really well. I think that without Deal, we're hurting, and the turnovers really hurt us. I'm tired of driving all the way to the end zone and not being able to punch it in for 6 points. We need a veteran running back, not just for third down conversions, but also for pass protection. In my opinion, I don't think Heinoski was ready to come back on the field. So my question is, let me make a statement before I ask the question.
Yeah.
There's too much pressure on David Wilson. It's his second year, and I think people expect too much out of him. We all look for reasons why we shouldn't bring Jacobs back, but we're running out of reasons. There's some reasons why we should bring him back. He shouldn't be there. I think he should have been here for the Dallas game, but my question is, does it make sense to bring someone other than Brandon Jacobs back at this point? The season starter, and he knows the playbook. He said he would take the veteran minimum.
I think you have to take a look at it. I think you pick the best running back that's available and bring him back. I think a running back can learn the plays, pass protection. The principles aren't that complicated. I want to disagree, though, Dominic, with a couple of things you said. One, you're not asking too much of David Wilson. This is year number two for a first-round draft pick. He already basically got a redshirt year last year in terms of playing offense because they couldn't trust him to pass protect and hold on to the football. So come in the year number two, you expect him to step up and seize the job. What happens in the first game? He fumbles twice, and he whiffs on a couple of blocks trying to protect a quarterback. To me, that's not asking too much. It's not asking too much to ask a first-round pick in year number two not to fumble and to know how to block somebody to protect your quarterback. To me, that's not asking too much.
Oh, no, I agree with that. What I'm saying is, as far I think that a veteran running back is needed to fill a void, and I just think that with all the pressure that's put on the running back position, I just don't think that he's going to be able to fill that entire void. That's the point that I'm making.
Well, but keep in mind, you have to also assume that Brandon Jacobs, if you go that route, is going to be able to fill that leadership role once, for example, an Andre Brown comes back. Because this is the curveball. I know right now the Giants need to look at it from the small picture perspective. They can't worry about a long term. But don't forget, Jacobs does have a history of getting rattled and creating some issues in the locker room. Not necessarily here in New York, but I'm referring to his days in San Francisco. So if he's willing to come back, he has to understand that his role may be large right now. And then once Andre Brown comes back, he may not be in every down back that they're going to
turn. And Dominic, we agree with you. The Giants do need to bring in a veteran running back that knows what he's doing, that they can trust, and I would be absolutely shocked if that didn't happen this week. Thanks for the call, my friend.
Okay, you guys take it easy.
Hey, you too, Dominic. Thank you for giving us a ring. 201-939-4513. I thought Eli was in sync with his wide receivers, to be honest with you. I think he started the game 5-for-11, but after that he was great. Cruz, 5 receptions, 8 targets. Nick's 5 receptions, 8 targets. Randall, 5 receptions, 6 targets. 7 receptions and 9 targets for Brandon Myers. So I thought Eli was very, very sharp, to be honest with you. Look, he made a terrible mistake throwing that interception to DeMarcus Ware. That was a bad decision. He looked like Tony Romo making that decision when Romo makes some of those bad plays on those screens. 2, bad physical pass to Reuben Randall. Wasn't a bad decision. He was open. He just airmailed the ball, tipped Randall, turned into interception. Look, tip balls happen. Same thing on the screen pass of Darrell Scott. Overall, though, and he brought it up, I thought Manning played a pretty strong game, especially considering the fact, and this I thought was another big red flag in this game, Lance, the Giants' offensive line did not do a very good job protecting him. Jason Hatcher lived in that backfield. He only had one sack, but he put a lot of pressure on Eli Manning. George Selvey put a lot of pressure on Eli Manning, and he was often throwing off his back foot, under duress, getting hit, getting knocked to the ground.
And Hatcher's making a transition this season to a defensive tackle spot. He's 6'6". Many people did not think that he'd have success in the defensive tackle spot because you have to get lower, and he's one of the tallest defensive linemen in the NFL.
Yeah.
But he basically manhandled that offensive line. And you're right. Eli Manning was running for his life at times, took his fair share of hits, and despite that, he still managed to throw for 450 yards, and he still managed to get 3 receivers with each having over 100 yards. And I thought Akeem Nicks and him were in sync. That was something we did not see in the preseason. Victor Cruz, who's coming off the bruised heel, manages to catch 3 touchdowns. So, you know, it's hard to sit here and say that they need work in the passing game. Does he maybe need some work with Brandon Myers? Absolutely. Does Brandon Myers need to get better in terms of his blocking? Absolutely.
Yep.
Does the offensive line need to get in sync? Absolutely.
Yep.
But outside of that, I would say the positive on offense is the fact that you had receivers running good routes and making plays for your quarterback, even though he didn't have a lot of time to get rid of the football.
Still a big play explosive offense. You would also like to see a more consistent running game. And again, I made the joke before the show started, and then when it began, this was a bizarro game. Usually it's the Cowboys that can't run the football and they need Tony Romo to throw for 400 yards and throw the ball 42 times like Eli Manning did. The Giants couldn't get the run game going, only 3.6 yards per carry. And I thought James Brewer had his struggles at time and left guard. I wonder if the Giants are now going to reexamine. Maybe they do want to put Cordell at center and put Booth at guard. I think it's something to look at this week. I think Justin Pugh had a couple of rookie things where you would say, all right, maybe he still has some work to do there, but I thought he was okay. George Selvey did make some plays on his side. I thought Will Beatty did as good of a job as you can on a guy who's as talented as DeMarcus Ware. But you're right, the Giants' offensive line has to get together and play a little bit better.
And keep in mind, if you change the offensive line, John, there's going to have to be another adjustment period. It's been a lot of musical chairs throughout the course of the preseason. They had four different offensive lines in four different games.
Or if not Cordell at center, maybe they can put Brandon Mosley back at guard. They do have some different options they can pursue in that offensive line. 201-939-4513. Carlos is down in Virginia. Carlos, good morning.
Hey, good morning to you. How you doing, John?
What's up, Carlos?
Yeah, I was, I was one of the many viewers from last night's game, and I think, you know, a lot of people were saying about the running game, you know, being, you know, not in sync like it was supposed to. But, I mean, I think a lot of it, too, has to do with, you know, Dallas transition from the 3-4 to the 4-3 made a lot of difference as well. But going into Denver's game next week, I mean, what do the Giants have to do differently to come out with a win next week?
Well, not turning it over six times would be a good start. Not to be Captain Obvious over here.
Well, I think the other thing is protecting Eli Manning. The one thing about Denver coming into this season prior to that Ravens game was that I did not think they were going to have a pass rush this season without Von Miller. I thought they'd struggle in that category, and they managed to sack Joe Flacco four times. Wesley Woodyard looked really good, so they have a couple of guys that they've brought in. Sean Phillips, for example, who came over from the Chargers. You know, don't overlook this Denver front seven. They have the ability to get to the quarterback. They also have some depth in that secondary. Champ Bailey missed the Ravens game. Chris Harris came in, had a beautiful interception in which he dove in front of the receivers. So even though this Broncos defensive unit doesn't have a lot of big names, they're opportunistic, and we got a taste of that against the Ravens. So, you know, this offensive line is going to be tested once again, even though you don't have a DeMarcus Ware coming off the edge.
And you got to put pressure on Peyton Manning. If you want to beat the Denver Broncos, get pressure up the middle on Peyton Manning, get some pass pressure in his pass rush in his face, and then Peyton Manning won't look like Peyton Manning. So that's what I would say the two things next week, Carlos, that they're going to have to do.
Yeah, and another thing about the defensive line is, I mean, is David Deal and Boss, I mean, are they going to be ready to go for week two?
David Boss didn't do a whole lot of work last week. We'll take a look in practice on Wednesday, see if he's able to do anything. Right now, I'd say 50-50 at best. We'll see. David Deal, though, is still ways, ways away before he can make an appearance. He really seriously injured that thumb. He had to have surgery on it. So David Deal is a long ways off right now.
Okay. All right. Thank you for your call.
All right, Carlos. Thank you for calling us.
Right. I think it was Dominic who called in earlier, said that Heinoski he didn't think was ready. But keep in mind, that's another positive, John, because Heinoski going back to fullback allows Bear Pasco to return to tight end. He's the top blocker in that situation. So hopefully with another game or two under their belt, you know, that could act as an additional sixth offensive lineman. That's not necessarily a bad thing, but it doesn't always happen automatically.
I do agree with Dominic, though, too. I did think Heinoski struggled a little bit, especially in that first half, both blocking any drop that pass that hit him right in the hands.
Well, that's sometimes the balance that you have to play with.
No,
do
there
you
is.
Just bring a player back because he's name, notoriety, and you know what his resume is? Or do you hold him back because he's not fully healthy? The Giants were in a very tough position. I think they went with the bigger names because they felt that they would be able to fight through those injuries.
And JPP did get that one sack. It was primarily a coverage sack. They actually had him blocked up pretty well. But Tony Romo's held the ball for 7-8 seconds, and Doug Freeze finally just like, I'm tired. And JPP got a ran around him, which I thought was funny.
By the way, Jaquan Williams bull-rushed Doug Freeze last night, and Doug Freeze, I think, rolled around seven times from Jaquan Williams' hit. I don't know if you saw that.
I did not
see
it.
That was unreal. Jaquan Williams
de-cleated Doug Freeze?
I mean, I don't even know if there's a word to describe it. It wasn't even a Giants defensive lineman. It was Williams, and Freeze fell flat on his back. And
so
that
Williams
was the play.
Pancaked Doug Freeze.
And that was the play, I believe, in which Romo was hit by two Giants defenders, Tretto and Matthias Kiwanuka, when he got hurt.
The Malachi crunch, or
correct.
Just like the thing, bam. And honestly, everyone thought that Romo was much more seriously hurt than he was. I thought it was going to be maybe a broken rib or something like that. I'm sure they'll do tests there. They'll find out. But that was one of the few times the Giants did get pass pressure on Tony Romo. Otherwise, it seemed to be throwing a tea party back there a few consecutive plays.
Well, the Giants have been already successful in breaking Tony Romo's ribs. Michael Poley, if you recall, is the one that put him out.
It was the collarbone, right?
It may have been. You're right. It was the collarbone. Yeah. The broken ribs was the Philadelphia Eagles game, I believe.
Correct. That's when and then he played with that punctured lung last year against San Francisco.
Multiple injuries.
201-939-4513. James is in Long Island. James, good morning.
Good morning.
How are you, James?
I'm all right. I just want to get right to it.
Yeah, go for it.
Bottom line, Wilson,
He's a second-year player. He should have it together. That's
yep.
number one, especially playing for Tom Coughlin. Tom Coughlin is run first, pass second. Everybody knows this about his offense, and he knows what's going to happen. And I feel bringing in Brandon Jacobs, I was tweeting it and putting it on Facebook the whole game, bringing in Brandon Jacobs. Not only can he pass protect for Eli, he know the playbook. Sometimes you need that veteran leadership to help the young guys out, to give them that confidence. The Giants are just a little screw loose. I saw a lot of potential, just like I felt in our secondary. I always liked when Aaron Ross and Corey Webster was on the field together. These are two guys that played and got two Super Bowls. Let's not forget that, which I still feel they're the most underrated two corners in the NFL, but that's another story. They don't give them a lot of respect.
Yeah, you know what, James? I think the corners played as well as they could have played last night. I thought they all did a very good job. They were very physical with the line of scrimmage. And other than those little slant routes, and even after the Cowboys completed those slant routes, what happened? They tackled them almost immediately on every play. There was very little run after the catch.
And that's what I like, that defense. And our pass rush, they only going to get better. J.P. Paul just got back, and he still got a sack. It was at the end, but it was when we needed it the most, a three and out.
And Justin Tuck, by the way, was very active. I thought Justin Tuck looked very good in that game last night.
It ain't that much that we have to fix. I saw it last night. I was watching it for six turnovers, and we only lost by five. Dallas can't be too happy. With the loss, I'll be more happy going into next week. Like, you know what? We got to see them again, and we'll be better prepared next time. Because I can't, if me as a coach, all right, a winner, yes. But let's talk about the play. When I'm with my other coaches, how did we get six on five? Like, how? Dallas didn't do that great in the red zone either.
No, they did not.
Let's just keep it real. Tony Romo just goes to his bailout guy, which is Jason Witten. He's a workaholic. Him and Romo be on the same page. When they get in that red zone, you got to look for that. We couldn't get him. He made some good plays. But they can't be that happy and that confident now.
James,
they can't be.
I think you bring up a great point. You're right. Dallas's offense, you know, did not necessarily light up the Giants' defense. Keep in mind, they went to a lot of short passes, and if you look at the number of big plays, they were far and few. You had Miles Austin get an 18-yard catch, and then Witten on the touchdown had a 20-plus yard catch. Outside of that, you know, Dallas was doing it very progressively, very slowly. That's why they put together so many lengthy drives that were wearing out the Giants' defense, but it was a five-yard gain, a 6-yard gain here, a running play. It wasn't anything as if they were throwing bombs down the field.
It took Tony Romo 36 completions and 49 attempts to throw for 263 yards.
There you go.
And Eli had 450, which was only 12 yards shy from what Peyton did, to mention to anybody.
Yeah, James, Eli, in 7 fewer attempts and 9 fewer completions, threw for nearly 200 yards more than Tony Romo. So it was the Giants that were making the big plays out there.
Yeah, absolutely. Like I said, though, you know, I was upset about the loss because I'm a fan, but I felt better right afterwards. Like, hold on, 6 turnovers, we lost by 5, and if we had a little presence of mind, we could have got that ball back with that onside kick.
That's
it
right.
It was right there in our face to grab.
All right. Appreciate the call, James.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you, my friend. And look, there are some positives in this game, but there are some negatives too. And if you don't have a running back you can trust, and I know it's a little rough and it might be a little strong, but right now, let's be honest. Does Tom Coughlin really have a running back in this building that he trusts? Does he? I think it's a fair question.
That is a good question.
I'm not sure if he does. And if you don't have one that you can trust, how are you supposed to go out there and play and have a balanced attack?
I think it's interesting. Coming into the season, we were harping on pass protection, John, with respect to the running backs.
And that was a problem, too, by the way.
And it was an issue last night, but I think that overshadowed the concerns about ball security.
It really did.
Because we thought that after Wilson's hiccup in week one last year, it was sort of behind him.
He figured it out.
Correct. Now, all of a sudden, it's reared its ugly head again.
It has. And two of them, not just one. And it costs you football games. And look, you take one of those David Wilson turnovers away yesterday, specifically the one that turned into a Barry Church return for a touchdown, that game could end very differently. I mean, look, there's a reason he got benched for the entire second half. If you can't trust a guy holding on to the ball, Tom Coughlin's not going to play it. 201-939-4513. now to Staten Island, and we say hello to Steve. Steve, what's up, pal?
Hey, good morning, guys. How are you today?
Good, Steve. Doing well, Steve.
All right. two things, okay, and I got to ask one of them, and I guess that's what, you know, as a fan, that's what we do. We play that Monday morning quarterback routine. But, you know, listen, you have a chance, and I got to tell you something. Honestly, despite all the times that team shot themselves in the foot, the Giants, I really thought when Eli came back out that last drive, I said, it's over. We're going to win this game. But, unfortunately, it didn't go that way. But I got to ask this question. You look at those two touchdowns they put up right before they came out that last drive, and Eli marched down that field like it was all right.
Yeah.
Okay? He was just completing passes at will.
Yep.
And I got to ask you a question. What are you doing throwing a screen? Honestly, listen, that to me, every time I see teams trying to either in overtime or whether, you want to get that last-minute drive, that's good if you need a field goal to win the game. But what are you doing throwing a screen? I'm sorry. See, to me, I didn't think that made sense. Why did you do it when you could have just looked Nix and the ball would have been in his hand. Looked at Reuben Randall and the ball would have been in his hand. He was on fire.
Well, Steve, look,
that's the only complaint really on the offensive side of the ball.
There are different reasons you decided to throw a screen pass there. Maybe they thought the Cowboys would be in some type of pressure and some type of blitz. You'd be able to get the ball to Darrell Scott in space. Maybe they thought they'd be playing a deep cover three, which would bring the linebackers deep into the secondary, which would open up an easy gain on a screen pass. However, I will say this. I'm not going to be as critical on the play call as you are, but I am going to be critical on the execution. Because for three or 4 years now, this team has not been able to be effective on screen passes that their lives could depend on. They've been awful.
Work for this team. It doesn't work. And honestly, to me, Eli Manning, listen, he's your prototypical, I'm stepping back in the pocket and I'm hurling it. And if you're there, you're going to catch it. Listen, the time of possession, that also kind of bothered me too on the Cowboy side of the ball. Now listen, y'all know, what do you think Peyton's going to do when he comes in here next week? Okay? To me, yeah, you could say the defense played good. I think there could have been some improvement.
Sure.
You made Tony Romo complete too many third downs. You know what? Like you said, pressure. Listen, you can't rely on the front four to get in this guy's face. You know, listen, you got it. Like Peyton, it's like if same thing. You can't let him get comfortable. You can't let a guy like Peyton shred your defense because that's what he will do. He will systematically pick you apart yard by yard. Pressure's the key word to get to this guy next week, okay? And as far as the running game, listen, I don't know who's out there, but you know what? David Wilson, yeah, he's a number one draft pick, and I don't want to see the kid put on a shelf either. But you know what? It's 2-1 game. 2-1 game? Come on, that's a serious mental thing. And hopefully that changes. And I don't know if you guys think they're going to bring anybody in next week, but I'd like to hear your answer. And thanks for taking my call, guys. Have a good week.
Hey, right, Steve, thanks for calling in. Yes, Blance and I both believe that they will bring a running back in next week. The only reason they didn't bring one in this past week is because their contract will be guaranteed for the entire season. Another running back will be in the building next week, number one. Number two, I thought the Giants did a pretty good job on third down. Held the Cowboys to 5 of 13, which is very good. But I will agree with him on the pressure situation. The Cowboys threw in this game. We talked about it a second ago. What, Romo had 49 pass attempts in this contest? And the Giants, in those 49 pass attempts, I believe only totaled 2 sacks, if I'm not mistaken. And you would like to get a couple more in that spot. I believe a half a sack for Tuck and Linville Joseph, and then Jason Pierre-Paul got the full one. So I do agree. You would like to see a little bit more pass pressure, Lance.
Yeah, they had 2 sacks in this contest. And you're right. You know, you do want to get to Tony Romo. But remember, Tony Romo's just as dangerous when he runs out of the pocket. It's not necessarily as if that's mission accomplished.
And you know what? He was
throwing off the run.
He was in the pocket the whole game. That is a great point. When did you see once Tony Romo break into him, get outside, and make a play? Yeah, I didn't. You know what? I didn't even think about that watching the game last night, but that is a great point, Lance. 100% correct. They kept him in the pocket.
How many plays did he extend last night, Tony Romo?
Very few.
And the time that he had a year and a Sunday to throw the football in which JPP got the sack, he was staying in the pocket that whole time.
It was the offensive line that protected him. By the way, I thought their rookie center, Travis Frederick, played a pretty darn good game.
Compared to some of the previous centers they've had, that's a step in the
right
direction.
Well, he actually snapped the ball
exactly
to the quarterback. which is something that Bill Costa struggled with last year. 201-939-4513. Our buddy Charles is in North Carolina. Charles, what's going on?
Hey, guys. I can honestly say I can't believe I don't have more things to complain about after a loss, but there's only a few things, man. I was actually pretty pleasantly surprised on, you know, overall. But, you know, it's like this. I think let's start with the running game. With the running game, I think that Jacob probably needs to be the one that's called. He's a plug and play. He knows the system. You know he can block. I think he's going to be the safest pick right now as far as bringing somebody in. Anybody else, I mean, they got to learn the system. They got to learn the blocking scheme. That may take weeks. We need someone who knows the system right now. He has fresh legs. He didn't really play last year.
No.
He's a workout specialist. You know he's in at least gym shape. And then, you know, I think he'd be the best solution right now. The D-line. The D-line that we know and love is no longer. We've seen it last night. We've seen it last year. It's time for some fresh, young blood to get in there and show what they can do. You know, JPP is going to be JPP. You know, once he gets 100%, watch out. We know what he can do. I think that rookie, Moore, I like to see him get some snaps next week to see what he's going to be able to do on third downs and things of that nature. You know, that pass rush, man, that's a real big concern. And then the other obvious thing is the linebackers. You know, they didn't play that bad last night, but Herzlick, man, a great story, but the guy is not starting material, man. You know, like I said, great story. I'm glad he was able to recover from his cancer and everything. But at the end of the day, man, he's just not a middle linebacker. He's just not going to fit for what we're trying to do for a start, man. Special teams, he's okay, but he's not a starting linebacker. Other than that, man, like I said, the second day, I thought did well. The game plan was well. You know, they contained Dez. I think Dez had, four catches or something like that, or 20-something yards or two catches, something like that. You know, Witten's going to be Witten. The best, he has beaten the best in this league, so I expected him to at least score, get a few catches or what have you. But, you know, otherwise, I thought we did a real good job. Dallas defense, you can see they secondary Swiss cheese, man. I mean, Eli switched those guys up, and with Claiborne being out, he just took command of that. You know, we just made a few dumb mistakes that gave them a short field, and that was pretty much the ball game. I mean, other than that, they didn't do anything to us. They did, you know, they did nothing to us. We did it to ourselves. That's all I'll say.
All right, Charles, appreciate the call, my friend. I thought the Cowboys did, however, defensive line, have their way with the Giants' offensive line for most of the game. That's one thing I think the Giants need to improve on. I agree. I thought the Cowboys' secondary looked like it had some issues converting to that, you know, cover two Monty Kiffin system, a lot of cover three as well. The Giants ran slants all day long, a lot of deep in cuts, and the Cowboy linebackers are really nowhere to be seen. Sean Lena and Bruce Carter, I thought, were relatively quiet, at least in pass coverage. You figured they would be in the middle of the field making some more plays. I thought Will Allen, the safety, despite the one pick, struggled a bit. He was late to the party on a couple of plays. He got beat over the top by Victor Cruz as well in the 70-yard touchdown. But look, Lance, I'm kind of surprised here. I thought we'd have a lot more really angry people this morning and really negative. But I think people are almost like, we think we can fix the turnovers, and the other stuff that we saw is probably good enough to win a lot of football games.
Well, turnovers are correctable, John. And once again, I think the defense held its own last night. So it's hard to sit here and say the Giants are back to square one like they were last season, where they couldn't stop the run and the secondary had a lot of trouble, because that was not evident. The Cowboys only had 87 yards on the ground last night. And remember, they were leading that game for a big portion of the contest. They had plenty of opportunities to run the ball, run some clock, and set the tone on the ground. The Giants didn't necessarily let them do that. The other point that I want to get back to, and this is regarding something that we've been getting tweets about, the running back situation and what direction the Giants want to go to in terms of bringing in a veteran running back. And our good friend Mike Farmer at MFarmer20 brings up the point that
very good point,
the Giants chose not to bring back Ahmad Bradshaw, and he did suit up and play for the Colts. He had 7 carries yesterday for 26 yards, and Bradshaw was out there once the Giants cut him. Nobody was willing to pick him up until the Colts got involved late in the game, and you say to yourselves, would it have made sense to maybe revisit and bring back Bradshaw at a veteran's minimum or something if he would be willing to take that, and then you at least have the veteran presence, and you have a guy that you never question regarding pass protection.
And that's the theory behind bringing Brandon Jacobs back. And you hope he has enough left in the tank. I mean, they worked out a bunch of guys last week. They'll work out more guys this week. And we'll see who the Giants think is best equipped here to be an effective running back. Because let's be honest, at this point, you're not just looking for a pass protector. You're going to need some production and some carries out of whoever you bring in here. This is no longer, you know, the third veteran running back behind David Wilson and Andre Brown. You're not just looking for a guy that on emergency can, you know, he'll know the system, he can do a little bit, he won't screw up, he can block. You need a guy now that can carry some of the load here. This isn't someone that's going to get 3-4 carries a game and come in on a couple third downs to pass protect. This guy could get 10, 12, 13 carries a game and get third down duties, maybe goal line duties as well. So you really need to find somebody here that can be productive, not just know the system. So I think Brandon Jacobs is an option. I think you bring him in, you see what he has left, you see how he's moving around, but you need somebody that can be good as much as you need somebody that knows how to play in the system.
Well, I think it also makes it somewhat of an attractive situation for a free agent because you know that if the Giants show some mutual interest, you have an opportunity to make an immediate impact. But you're right. You're not just coming in here so you can get 10 carries, look good, and try to sell yourself to other teams. You're coming in here so that you can immediately put your stamp on this team because they need somebody to have a presence from 1 yard out on the goal line that can punch it in. They need somebody that can pass protect on third down. They need somebody that can run inside and carry defenders with them. We did not see much of that. We saw it at times during the preseason, but that did not translate into the regular season, and that's a big hole that the Giants need to fill immediately.
201-939-4513. Shakes is in Baltimore, Maryland. Shakes, good morning.
Good morning, fellas. Good morning. I see. It was a little positive feedback from this game last night, not from me. I guess I'm going to be the bearer of bad news. I don't see, all off season, I've been saying this. I've been preaching this. I've been screaming this. Pass protection. Pass protection running back. We need it. We need it. And we just poo-pooed on it like it don't mean nothing. And look what happened. Every down that I seen, Eli was not comfortable at all. At all. And then with David Wilson with that whiff, oh, that made me so sick and angry. Ooh, okay. All right. Good things that came out this thing, though, the defense played well. The linebackers did okay. And the corners were beast. They did exactly what I wanted them to do against Dez Bryant. Be physical with him, especially Aaron Ross. Aaron Ross was very physical with him. And yep. I love what I seen from T2. T2, even though he gave up some slants to Austin, the way he hit and he was moving around and he was flying, it was one play where he hit and it looked like his leg got twisted up in somebody else's body, you know, the little pile. And he got up and he was still pumping. He was jumping around. And I was happy about that because I'm a T2 fan. Okay? Yeah. We got to bring back Jacobs. We got to bring back Jacobs. Pass protection, no, don't. Not a lot of linebackers want to run into Jacobs.
That is true.
That's a big boy. So bring him in for that pass protection, and he can run. I mean, if he give us 3 yards a carry, that's good because we can't put too much pressure and put too much carries on Wilson. He can't carry the whole load. That's not him right now. Maybe in a couple seasons when he gets comfortable and he gets his feet wet, but right now he's still raw. So we got to get somebody in here for him. The receivers played great. Nix looked good. Nix looked good. Myers, he needs to get up his blocking. But I wasn't – the only thing that made me mad was that pass protection because I've seen every time Eli was thrown off his back foot – and he just wasn't comfortable in the pocket. And he made some plays, but it's only so much a guy can do. So against Denver, that got to get cleaned up because them boys is coming. Sean Phillips is not playing.
Thanks for taking my call. I'll speak to you all tomorrow, man. Thank you.
Thanks, right, Shakes. You know, we only started hearing from Shakes in the off season. You always call in, very relaxed, very chill. You know, kind of joking around. It's the first time I've ever heard Shakes like legitimately fired up and annoyed. It was good. I liked it.
Well, he did get fired up when the Giants parted ways with Aaron Curry. Well, so keep that in mind. Let's not forget that. All right? That is a big thing that you overlooked there, John.
That was more disappointment than anger.
Okay, perhaps. But you're right. He was a bit disappointed with this latest phone call. He didn't want to be the bearer of bad news, but he brought up some things that the Giants should be concerned about. But I do disagree with Shakes on one point.
What's that?
I don't think it's an issue that David Wilson can't handle the load. Keep in mind, he doesn't fumble last night. We're not talking about whether or not he can handle X amount of carries. He only carried the ball 7 times last night.
So we are talking probably about the team's 3.6 yards per carry average.
True. But David Wilson's the type of running back, he can get 15 carries a game. I don't think that's a question.
I don't think so
either. It's just a matter of that you want another running back to help provide something different. Give defenses a different look. And right now, I don't know if they have enough versatility. I think that's the best way to describe this current game. What does Darrell Scott bring to the table that David Wilson doesn't? What does Michael Cox bring to the table that David Wilson doesn't? You're missing that power, presence, the guy that can go right up the gut and carry defenders with him.
You're missing AJ Brown.
Correct. The three running backs that they have are running backs that could go out in the flat, catch receptions. They're running backs that can run off the edge. But outside of that, they really don't distinguish themselves from one another. So that would be my argument why you need to bring in another running back. Also, for pass protection as well. But not so much that David Wilson can't handle X amount of carries.
201-939-4513. Agree with you 100%. Back to our phones. Let's go to Alex down in Dallas. Alex, I'm sure if you're a Giant fan down there, you must be getting some grief this morning.
Well, brother, good morning, fellas, and I listen to y'all's show. I'm a Cowboys fan, and I talked to Patino last week, and Patino told me to call back on Monday.
All right, Alex, what do you got?
Hey, man, I saw things a little different. I'm listening to the fans say that your defense was this and they were that, but, man, I saw a defense that was about to tap out, taking injuries. And as far as the I'm going to tell you, the bright spot you guys had was Cruz, man. That guy is a beast.
Yeah, he is.
Now, with a few blown coverages, I'm going to tell you, really, honestly, that score looked a lot closer than the game was actually, because we pretty much dominated that game. You contain Dez. You can contain any receiver. You can contain Megatron if you put help over the top. We took what y'all gave us, and that's why we went to Austin. We went to Williams. We went to Harris. We went to Escobar. We went to Witten. We even had our running backs in it, man. So I think Romo played a smart game. He didn't try to force anything, and he took what you gave. So the defense pretty much tapped out. We are physical, y'all.
Well, Alex, yeah. Two
it
things.
Maybe a different thing next game. Maybe a different story next game. But this game, we are physical, y'all.
Well, Alex, two things I agree. I think the Cowboys were the more physical team in this game. I do agree with that. I think fatigue did start to set in with the defense. They were on the field for 74 plays. The Cowboys won the time of possession battle 37-22. So I do agree with that. I wouldn't use the expression tapped out. I think getting tired is probably a good way to look at it. However, I will disagree with you on this. I think it's pretty hard to say the Cowboys dominated this game when the Giants outgained them in terms of yardage by almost 150 yards.
With a few exceptions of couple of big plays, man, this game, the score didn't reflect how well we played. It really didn't. Be honest, guys.
But
let's quit with the excuses. Let's quit with the excuses. When you guys beat us, we say y'all beat us. That's it.
Alex, in fairness, you can't take away the big plays. Last year, Dez Bryant made a lot of big plays for the Cowboys against the Giants. Giant fans weren't calling him and say, well, if Dez Bryant didn't catch the 80-yard touchdown pass, why we wouldn't win the game? He did.
I call it the way I see it. If Dez made a big – listen, we here, and especially me, we in Dallas, when Dallas play bad, man, our media is probably tougher on our team than any team, any media on any team.
I agree with that.
Let me tell you something. When our team plays bad, we say they play bad. When y'all dominate us, we say y'all dominate us. I want you to send Michael Strahan, Patino, all these people, New York Jazz fans, just admit you got beat. And next time you may beat us, we just have to admit y'all beat us.
Well, Alex, I will say this right now, and you can hear it before I let you go. Dallas Cowboys outplayed the Giants last night, and they beat them. When they force, and it wasn't just giveaways, keep in mind. A lot of times turnovers are bad luck. The Cowboys actually did force two or three of those turnovers by trying to strip the ball and get after Eli Manning and things of that nature. So the Dallas Cowboys outplayed the Giants last night. I won't use the word dominate because I don't think they dominated them, but they did outplay the Giants, and that's why they won the football game.
Dallas should have taken advantage of those first three turnovers.
You're 100% right, Alex, and that's what I was just going to throw out, that if you want to show true domination, and Alex, appreciate the phone call, it should have been about 21-23-0 right from the get-go, because they got all those early turnovers, and we're still talking about a 3-3 game. So you're right, the Giants should have never even been in that position. They were so fortunate that they went into the locker room down 13-10.
Yeah.
When they had all of those turnovers. So they definitely won the battle at the line of scrimmage, the Cowboys. They dominated at the line of scrimmage. But if we're going to use the term domination, then Dallas needs to show me that they could take advantage of those turnovers and punch it in. That's the one thing that I would critique about Dallas last night.
And that's why we said the Giants' defense played pretty well, because despite those turnovers by the offense, some in their own territory, they did control the Dallas Cowboys offense in terms of scoring in that first half. It could have been a lot worse.
But we're not sitting. Listen, the Cowboys won that game last night. I mean, we're not trying to defend the Giants. It was not a pretty game. How could you defend six turnovers?
And quite frankly, I think we were rougher on the team than most of our callers have been, to be quite honest with you.
These two teams battle it out each and every year. They beat each other up.
And it's always crazy, too.
You never know what to expect in these type of contests. And this was and this was brought up on Twitter. It really was a reversal of the second game last year when Tony Romo threw those four interceptions. The Giants built the 23-0 lead. The Cowboys came back, and then the Giants held off. But see, the difference between this year's game and last year's game in Dallas, John, is the Giants took every Dallas turnover and made it a touchdown. That's why they got up 23-0. Dallas could not do that.
And by the way, we didn't bring up him by name. We brought up the play, but DeMarco Murray might have saved this game for the Cowboys by running down and hustling down and tackling Ryan Mundy before he got to the end zone. Showed some good speed on that, too. Came all the way across the field to catch Mundy and keep him out of the end zone. And the Giants' red zone offense, again, not exactly coming through in that spot.
1 yard out, and you can't punch it in. Manning gets sacked two plays later after Wilson picks up no gain. You know, these are the types of things that you can't afford to have happen. And that's another reason how well Dallas's front seven played, specifically Jason Hatcher. Because, you know, you're 1 yard out, and you allow Eli Manning to get sacked. Clearly, the Giants' offensive line has ways to go, but the Cowboys' defensive line, I think, has really made strides dating back to their struggles
from
last
year.
Yeah,
Sean Lee made a couple really nice plays in the running game. He's protected now in that 4-3 by the defensive line, so him and both and Bruce Carter will have a chance to make some plays.
And they don't even have Jay Ratliff healthy yet, John. Keep that in mind.
That's right, and Anthony Spencer. Let's go to Jason in Montana. Jason, what's going on?
Hey, not much. Kind of got a little sidetracked by the last caller, but hey, you know what? There's a lot of things to talk about. I'm just going to keep it simple. Like I said, you know, I'm not feeling as bad this game. I feel that there were positives. I think that I would rather get this out of the way early in the season. Hopefully we could work on it and could use this as a catalyst to for the remainder of the season.
That's fair.
And like I said, yes, we got some work to work on, but there were a lot of good looks, and really, to be honest with you, six turnovers, only losing by 5 points. I mean, I wouldn't feel too happy about that win if I was a Dallas fan.
No, you're right. It's truly amazing that the Giants were that close in this game. And that's the one thing that I was saying to myself while I was watching that game last night. I mean, the fact that the game was 6-3 at one point, 13-10, and then even down the stretch, it's 30-24, and Eli Manning and company are one great rally touchdown drive away from winning this contest. So, you know, I know Alex is trying to provide a different perspective, our last caller, that the Cowboys dominated that game. And yes, there were a lot of bright spots for Dallas, but you can't feel too good that despite all those turnovers, you were one Eli Manning touchdown away from losing that game.
That being said, like you mentioned, how many times have we seen the shoe on the other foot when in years past Dallas with all the turnovers, they try to make a run at the end, come up short, and it's a different type of problem, but it's still a problem. When even though you show you're a very talented team and you're good, but you make the dumb and stupid mistakes that cost you the game, it's a different type of problem the Giants usually have in terms of winning and losing, but it's still a problem, Jason, that needs to get corrected.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, definitely. And just real quick, you know, listen, I hate to lose. There's nothing more that I hate than losing. You know, I want to get this last one versus Dallas. The one that, to me, that just feels a whole lot better is when we win the last one.
Well, you better.
You know, yeah, exactly. So, anyway, listen, we're here. We're going to do it.
Appreciate the call, Jason.
All right, Jason. Thanks so much.
Remember the last two times the Giants lost to Dallas to start the season, you know what they did?
They raised the Lombardi Trophy.
Both times. So, maybe it's a sign of things to come again. Last year, they lost to Dallas first game of the season here, ended up losing a division tiebreaker.
And that was a costly game.
In part because of that.
Correct.
And they did not make the playoffs. So,
and right now, before they can focus on beating Dallas, they've got to focus on Denver, because the last thing you want to do is start the season on a losing skid. So they're going to see Dallas down the road. Right now, they got to right the ship much earlier in the season.
Back to the phones. Len's in Columbia, Maryland, at 201-939-4513. Len, how are you?
Well, guys, I was looking forward to my 2 minutes of internet therapy.
Well, you have it. Go ahead.
Until that joker from Dallas called. Look, guys, it's your show. It's Giant.com. You run it the way you want. But, you know, you've gotten people off the phone pretty quickly in the past. Okay, you're going to win the most gracious host award this year. Do you know what would have happened in Washington the day after a loss to the Eagles? If an Eagles fan called a Washington Redskin program, either internet or on the radio, he'd have gotten about 6 seconds, guys.
Well, Len, in fairness, I think it's interesting, though, because we've gotten a lot of calls about the same type of topics. I think it's interesting to get a different perspective on the game from someone that's looking at it from the different side. If he was obnoxious and a jerk about it, he would have been gone in 6 seconds. But I thought he made some points that did make some sense. We disagreed on some of the stuff. But I think it's actually healthy for a fan base to take a look at a game from the other team's perspective to see how they view it. And again, if he was a jerk and obnoxious about it, yeah, he would have been gone in 6 seconds. But I thought he made some fair points, and apparently Paul Dottino told him to call when he saw him down in Dallas last night. So call up Dottino on Wednesday and blame him. That's what I say, Len.
There you go. Look, your show, you handle it. I wish he had called tomorrow when Hanlon was on. Okay. Let me go back to what I was calling about. If
yes.
I still got a little bit of time.
Yeah, go ahead. Sure.
I didn't mean to rant, but just, you know, it's our show, guys. It's our show. Okay.
Len marking his territory.
Somebody, I was going
to
say.
Not somebody from Dallas. Okay, there I go. I'm ranting again. I can't get back to my... You know, Tom can go to the blackboard and erase all the goals. You know, you just can't get past the six turnovers. In fact, when I laid out some goals for you last week of what the Giants should aim for, they reached every one except tip balls. We got one tip. I wanted three. Yardage under 100 yards.
Well, Len, I got to cut you off, though. Jason Witten had 8 catches, though. You said under 8 catches for the tight ends. I wrote down all your keys.
Yeah, okay, all right. And I got, so, I mean, they reached a couple of these goals. I want, you know, I wanted, as I said, the yardage under 100 yards and so forth. They almost got to the 34 points, too. We almost got to the 34 points. So, but you can't erase the six. I mean, the 6 turnovers is just crushing. Look, it's the second week of the season. The answer to whether we're going to win 10 or 11 games this year is on the 53-man roster.
That's true. I agree with that.
Maybe throw Andre on there and make it 54. Maybe throw Marcus Kuhn on there and make it 55. You know, anybody, you know, Will Hill coming back, make it 56. The answer's on the roster. The answers are not on the waiver wires.
Anyone that's a free agent now is not going to make the difference. I agree with you.
I mean, it's the answers are on the roster. Eddie Lacy at Green Bay yesterday, the rookie from Alabama, fumbled in the first half.
Yes, he did. I saw the play.
Okay. The next series, Eddie Lacy was in the game. I mean, wait, you know, Wilson's part of the core 10. This guy's got to get on the field and play. The answers are on the roster. It's God bless Brandon Jacobs. I love the guy. The enthusiasm, the production. Look, the answers are not on the waiver wires, guys. The answers are on the 53-man roster. Let me talk positive. Cruz with the three touchdowns. I mean, that's Victor. Hakeem Nicks, I mean, that's the real Hakeem Nicks. But, oh, my gosh, Reuben Randall.
All three of those guys look great, Len.
Oh, my gosh, Reuben. Reuben Randall, he takes your breath away when he catches the ball.
Now, Len, before you say goodbye, and I want to bring this up, and I can't believe you're not calling up to toot your own horn a little bit, but I want to go back into the time machine and take us back. I think it was either the spring or early summer, and you called up, and you decided you had the gall to predict what the Giants' first play from scrimmage was going to be.
Yeah.
And your prediction, by the way, and we have it up on a sheet of paper on the wall in front of us, and Dan Salamone, who screened the calls, reminded me about it. 11 yeah. formation, and I don't think it was an 11 formation play. David Wilson motion out of the backfield. That didn't happen
right.
either. However, they did hit Hakeem Nicks deep for a 57-yard play. Lennon Maryland predicting the Giants' first play from scrimmage back in the beginning of summer. Well
go.
Done, Len. I got to tell
you,
that's pretty impressive. That's
okay,
a good job out of you.
Well, let me just can you give me 30 more seconds, real quick? I had also been friends around here, and it took it to, saying to friends that I thought that first play that we had a chance to break Victor for about 70 yards. Now it took till the second quarter for it to happen, but. I mean, what can you say about Victor Cruz? I mean, the guy's just, he comes out of that slot position. He's just, I mean, he's uncoverable. Let me say one more thing. Screen passes. We're terrible at it. And I never liked screen passes. I never liked screen passes where the guy is standing still. You got to have your back in motion. Now, I know in the fourth quarter, Scott dropped the ball when he was out in the flat and there was some movement and he dropped it. But I never like it where guys, particularly on the inside, Scott, and on the first interception, you know, that Ware made. I mean, you're screen passing, but the guy is standing still. I want these guys to be in motion somewhere. And, you know, the Wilson doesn't have to be the greatest blocker in the world. Adrian Peterson can't block. The offensive line has got to block better. We've got to hope the offensive line blocks better. Hey, sorry about the rant for the beginning. You guys got a great show. You're wonderful hosts. It just bugs me to see a Cowboys fan get
Len.
That much time on
very
wow.
cranky
on our show, guys.
Thank you, Len.
Thanks,
Len. And by the way, make a good point. I skipped the first play when they actually threw the interception to DeMarcus Ware, but the second play from scrimmage was pretty well predicted by Len. Excuse
I don't think
me.
You were going to give credit to Len if his first prediction of the season was that Eli Manning throws an interception.
No.
It's understandable.
So
it took some time to get to
Hakeem
Nicks.
Oh, it was only the second play. It was the first successful play from scrimmage for the Giants. Still not bad.
And that was off a slant, which you alluded to earlier in the show, John, where the Cowboys secondary was beat more often than not because the Giants weren't necessarily running straight down the field. They were hitting the middle of the field where the linebackers left it wide open and the Giants took advantage.
All right, folks, we got three callers on the line. We're going to take them. Then we and Lance have to say goodbye. There is still much to do on this Monday with not a lot of sleep. So we will get to your final three calls, go over our picks real quick, and then we're going to say goodbye. Let's start with Bruno down in Atlanta, Georgia. Bruno, what's going on?
Hey, fellas. Like a lot of callers, it's a slightly better morning than it was a night last night.
Yeah, I'd say.
One point that Len made that Lacy came back into the game after a fumble. I mean, so did Wilson. So, I mean, I was a little surprised.
Also
but,
a good
but
point.
Proud of the running backs coach and Coughlin to give him another shot, but he fumbled again. I mean, we can't have that.
Fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me.
Exactly. I mean, I got a couple of comments here. I mean, what everybody's touched on, the lack of the pass rush, disappointing. Lack of the running game and the pass blocking. But my two points specifically, that Eric Davis on NFL AM this morning, he brought up a great point that David Wilson's fumbles are coming in the pile. That's not something easy to coach up. I mean, he needs to, once he feels that pile around him, he needs to wrap up with both arms. So
two hands on the football. Two hands on
yeah,
the
exactly.
football. Very simple.
Yeah. And then the other point was, you know, last year as part of the entire offense, you know, Martellus Bennett, big guy, good blocker, you know, good receiving tight end. This year we got Brandon Myers, who was invisible for most of the game until Dallas started playing that prevent type defense. He got a couple of yards, got a touchdown, but I mean, if he was staying in the first part of the game to block, where was the blocking? Because I mean, Dallas's pass rush was all over us, and Brandon Myers, I didn't know the guy was on the roster until the fourth quarter.
Well, it's an area that he needs to improve. I mean, you hit it right on the nose. Brandon Myers was not known as a blocker when he was with Oakland. He's now making the transition. And I think that once Henry Heinoski is fully healthy, you know, they'll be able to utilize Bear Pasco as mainly the blocking tight end, and that will allow Myers to go out and catch those passes perhaps in the first and second quarters so they don't have to wait for him to do most of his damage in the latter stages of the game. But right now, if Brandon Myers wants to be a starting tight end for the New York Giants, priority number one is he has to block. And that's an area that he's going to hope to get better and better with each and every week. But right now, he's got ways to go. I absolutely agree with what you said.
But I think he'll be a consistent dump down type of option for Eli Manning.
Yeah, and just the other point, I mean, I love our coaching staff. They got us two Super Bowls. But it's been a while now that Perry Fuel's defense is just, you know, give them the yards, you know, we stiffen up and not give up too many points. And, you know, Huffnagel or the offensive line coach, I think it's Huffnagel, no?
No, Pat Flaherty.
I'm sorry, Pat Flaherty, yeah. You know, it's ever since we lost Sean O'Hara and Richie Seibert, the offensive line hasn't been a solid unit. I mean, if we can't run block it, the least we've been able to do the past couple of years is pass blocking. Now that's falling apart. So I don't know if we need some major retooling. I know we started trying with the retooling of the offensive line and Justin Pugh in the first round, but it's kind of disheartening when we see Martellus Bennett gone, Heinoski's injured, Andre Brown's out. You know, I don't know how we're gonna get this pass block back.
Thanks
maybe,
for the call,
maybe
Brandon
Jacobs is the answer. Yeah, no problem. Thanks.
All right, appreciate it, man. 201-939-4513.
And just piggybacking off of what Bruno said, John, it's very hard when this offensive line hasn't had many reps together. Keep that in mind. You know, the game plan was boss at center, deal a tackle, and Pugh's going to come off the bench.
I thought so too, but I did ask Kevin Booth that after the game, and you heard it on the postgame show on WFA, and he said, look, we're used to each other. Getting used to each other now isn't a factor. Look, that could just be player speak after the game, and I can see that, but is it chemistry, or is it just that maybe a guy like James Burrow isn't good enough to be a starter right now? Maybe he's not good enough.
I think it's a combination of both. I think it's talent, which is a question mark, but I also think it is communication because guys need to be on the same page. And Sean O'Hara even talked about this on the training camp live programs.
Yeah.
It's not just easy going in there, playing the center, snapping the ball to the quarterback, and looking around and hoping that everybody's in the right spot. You need to call out the protections. The guard may need to tell the tackle, listen, you've got to shift over to the left. You've got to be careful and cautious of this linebacker that's coming off the edge.
Right.
You've got to be on the same page.
Let's go to JD down in Virginia as we do three more calls. JD, what's up?
Hey, what's going on, fellas? How you doing this morning?
Doing well, JD.
Hey, well, listen, I'm going to be real quick and simple. First things first, I apologize for that Cowboys fans trying to take over your show.
You don't need to apologize, JD.
No one's taking over the show, JD.
Listen, hey, it goes without saying, and JD, I don't mean to cut you off, but I know Len was very passionate, but we like to have an open conversation on this show.
Yeah,
you know, we like to criticize the team, but we also like to hear different perspectives, as John said. So, you know, listen, if a Cowboys fan wants to enter the conversation, we're not going to hold them back as long as what they bring to the table helps add to the conversation. If it doesn't, and if it's obnoxious and it's trying to be critical on purpose of the Giants, we'll see you mañana. But if it adds to the conversation, we're not going to sit here and deprive them an opportunity from voice their opinion.
Good stuff. That's why I like listening to y'all. By the way, the show is awesome as always.
Appreciate it.
I'm gonna be very quick. Watching the game last night was like me playing Madden. At times, they had your good points, you have your bad points. Straight up, the blocking. Does David Wilson fumble those two times if the blocking was a little bit better? Because I know one of them was like a counter, which I've seen them run that play before and have much success with different personnel on the line. But for some odd reason, that play broke down fast. That the first play with 1 yard just to get a touchdown, it seemed like the whole front line just laid down and a big wave came at David Wilson. So I'm just happy he at least held on the ball right there, because when you got three people coming back at me and supposedly I have six or seven people in front of me trying to block to go forward, yeah, that whole front line just looked like it laid down on that play. Hynoski, he's got to look at where he's blocking, because when he came around that first fumble, that was just a block that Hynoski missed. And the only thing I can say is I understand it's like late in the game, and of course, yeah, it's Eli time, because that's the only thing I was thinking when it was 24-30. I was like, man, we about to win this game by like 2 points, because I saw Eli had the ball, and I was like, all right, it's Eli time. It's about to start all over. I'm just like, where is all this offense in the first half? Can we get this offense in the first quarter? Can we not wait till it's like 3 minutes left in the game and let's start Heupo on the ball. Let's really run our offense. Let's really show what this passing attack is made of. Now, that's just my view. But I will say this. Next week, I hope that pass rush is ready to do it. Because I'm going to tell you this. I saw some so-called blitzes that were all picked up. You see what I'm saying?
I do.
And the only thing I can say is that Denver defensive line, Denver offensive line, those are some solid big boys. Because I looked at the first game that Peyton threw 7 touchdowns. Why did he throw 7 touchdowns? Because this man had some houses in front of him.
That's true.
And all I'm going to say is that unless they really get after Peyton, and it's going to be a long day for that secondary. And
thanks, JD.
I don't think they're going to try to run all the way out there. But listen, first things first, thank you very much for the show. Thanks for the opportunity to call, fellas. Enjoy the day. And as always, stay up, stay true. Go G-Men. Go Big Blue.
All right, thanks, JD.
Thanks so
by
much.
The way, we should point out on Twitter, obviously, this is simply a report, not confirming or denying that it is true. Adam Schefter reporting on Twitter that the Giants will work out former Bronco and Raven running back Willis McGahee tomorrow. That workout was planned last Friday before this game even took place. So, again, that's what Adam Schefter is reporting. Don't know if that's actually accurate or not. No idea. Giants do not release the names of people that they work out. They're not members of the team. So just that was put up on Twitter about 2 minutes ago. I want to keep you informed.
And McGahee was cut by the Broncos earlier this offseason. They went in a direction of youth with Ronnie Hillman, their second year back, and Monte Ball, their early round pick this season. So they obviously decided that they didn't want to keep their veteran running back around, and now perhaps this is somebody that the Giants will toy with, according to this report.
That Bronco running back situation, a nightmare for fantasy football owners everywhere. Three guys getting carries.
Not fun.
No one knows who to start. By the way, you had a fun fantasy football night last night with Victor Cruz's 3 touchdowns.
That's right. Victor Cruz.
Now here's the question. Did you make up the ground from the Peyton Manning debacle on Thursday night?
Well, I went up against Demaryius Thomas.
Against
Manning.
Same question.
Correct. Made up of it somewhat. I'm down by, I think, 16 with Alfred Morris tonight, and your brother, who I'm going up against, has the Chargers defense.
Oh, that's actually should be pretty close.
I'm within striking distance now.
You are.
I had Jason Witten, too, who had 2 touchdowns last night.
Wow, you really cashed in last night, huh?
Well, I had a big Cowboy Giant representative clan on my fantasy team.
All right, 2 more calls, and we haven't heard this guy in a while, and I'm sure I saw him fired up on Twitter last night after the game. I wonder if he still was fired up now after a good night's sleep, and that's Victor down in Texas.
Wow.
Victor, how are you, man?
Hey, I am fired up. And Lance, only winners get wings. So I'm glad you got to Demaryius Thomas. You did.
I hear you.
John, hey, I'm still fired up because I'm very disappointed in the cohesiveness of that offensive line. And Pat Flaherty I'm a really big fan of Pat Flaherty.
He's a great coach.
He's been working so much with our offensive line. He's been doing so much. But this offensive line right now, and I totally agree with what you said, Jason Brewer, he is not a starter right now. And we need to find a starter that's on our practice squad or somebody else, because the way I saw the offensive line look last night, it was terrible. Eli Manning looked like Michael Vick in that thing. He was running so much. I mean, Eli Manning was doing some quick twitch, getting out of the pocket. I commend him on that, but that offensive line was horrendous. Now, as far as David Wilson fumbling and stuff like that, you know what, Tom Coughlin, you had a guy had a fumbling problem before. What'd you do with him?
All right, fixed him.
Tiki Barber. fix him because the guy is young. Willis McGahee isn't going to come in and secure anything. You know, he's not going to give you nothing explosive. He may give you, some bursts here, but he's not going to give you anything explosive.
Yeah, but Victor, remember, Tom Coughlin can tell David Wilson what to do. And trust me, he told David Wilson to cover it up with two hands. David Wilson's still going to go out there and do it.
Oh, definitely. But, Tiki was doing it every day, practice, everything. And make him hold the ball around. Do the old school stuff, And another thing that was disappointing to me, and I guess it was good for the Cowboys, because that offensive line I'm telling you, it looked like the 90s Cowboys offensive line. We were sending blitzes at them. I just seen Jason Pierre-Paul getting like somebody was slamming a door in his face. And, we could not get to Tony Romo. On that one play where Jason Witten caught that pass, Tony Romo had about, 10 seconds.
He
looked
did.
Left, he looked right, he looked this way, he looked that way. We got to get more pressure. And Perry Fuel, his bend-but-don't-break defense, come on, guys. I don't want to just give up, and then stiffen in the red zone and give up 3 points. Let's stop, guys. Let's get off the field on third down. We gave up third and long. That's typically what we do. And our red zone offense, come on, Ryan Mundy, great out. I would have loved for the guy to actually run it in the end zone, right? And kudos to DeMarco Murray for catching him. But you telling me we can't get a touchdown from the 3-yard line or the 1-yard line?
You have to.
And we give up a sack?
You have
that
to.
That is just something's got to give there. And big ups to Victor Cruz. I mean, this guy's story just keeps getting better. He showed up last night. I'm telling you, he showed up big time. Reuben Randall is a bright spot. I always said this guy was going to be a bright spot right now. I see him. He knows the offense right now. And he's starting to play rather than think. And it was great to see T2 back. But, guys, we got the Denver Broncos coming in to our home. And I'm telling you right now, I don't want to get embarrassed again. And I want to have a good showing. And for all the Cowboys fans, and I'll leave you with this, to think that, hey, this game, it's a big deal. They won. Yeah, you won. But, come on. We had 6 turnovers, and you barely won the game. 6 turnovers, you barely won the game. I think keys for next week. We got limited turnovers. We got to block better, and I think we got to have better play calling down in the red zone because we need to fix that ASAP.
Victor, appreciate it. Good to hear from you, man. Don't be a stranger, okay?
And stay safe, Victor.
Oh, I won't. Yeah, I will. Appreciate it, guys. Thanks.
Thank you for your service, my friend. We appreciate it as always. Always good to hear from Victor in Texas. Great Giant fan down there.
Very passionate.
He was not
fan.
Pleased last night on Twitter. I don't know if you saw any of his tweets.
I did not happen to see his tweets.
He was not pleased.
Oh, I think a lot of Giants fans were not pleased,
well,
considering how that game started.
Well, Victor has to hear it down there, too. I mean, he's in Texas. I'm sure he was at – I didn't even ask him. I'm sure he was at the game. But
well, he's in Korea right now, actually.
Oh, is he out? Is that where he's at?
That's what he tweeted earlier today.
Oh, is that true? He gave us that call from Korea, huh?
Correct.
Oh, wow. Shoot.
I think he responded to your tweet, if I'm correct.
Oh, did he? Yeah, I haven't been monitoring Twitter here. I'm too busy eating my raisin bread. 201-939.
Which adds to the conversation, clearly.
I bring the mic down. Nobody hears me
chew
it.
No one balances it better than you do.
I'm a professional.
Eating breakfast and being on the air at the same time.
Thank
so
you.
Few can enter that category.
That is very true. Let's go to Chaz up in Rochester. Chaz, what's going on? How are you, pal?
Good. Thank you for taking my call.
Thanks for calling, Chaz. You're a cleanup hitter today. What's going on?
All right. Well, real quick. The announcers always have these crazy stats that they bring up. And I have a stat that the Giants have to be like one of the first teams in NFL history to throw 2 interceptions on screenplays. I couldn't believe it.
You don't see it very often.
Right. It's like, how do you not see DeMarcus Ware with that bright white jersey in the sea of blue jerseys between your linemen who are releasing to go out to the block and Eli Manning? And then Darrell Scott, he didn't turn his head around fast enough to catch the screen. And Eli's throwing it to him, and it just takes a fortuitous bounce off his hand or whatever and pops straight up in the air.
Yeah, honestly, Chaz, in my opinion, and maybe I'll find out that I'm wrong later on today, because I very well could be, to me, both those interceptions are on Manning. Because, A, Eli, the first one, obviously, just threw it right to DeMarcus Ware. Terrible play. And, to me, Eli has to wait that extra split second for Darrell Scott to get his head turned around before he throws that screen pass in the fourth quarter. Now, timing's an issue. Maybe Darrell Scott should have turned around sooner. That's fine. But when you're in that close proximity, you can't throw that pass until Darrell Scott gets his head around. Because if you don't, then that's what's going to happen. You're getting a deflection for a touchdown. Now, in fairness to Eli, there was pass pressure on that play. So he felt guys at his feet, and he's like, I got to get rid of the football. So that's why he probably threw it a little bit early. But he threw it before Darrell Scott was ready, and that really ended up sealing the game.
Right. And then some of the positives, though, that I like to take from the game.
Yeah.
I felt like the run defense was a little bit more stout. There were a few bursts of runs where I forget his name, Murray?
Yeah, DeMarco Murray.
Right, yeah, he ended up getting a couple of good carries, but for the most part, they held him in check. I like the shutdown on Dez Bryant.
Yep.
So I felt like the secondary did very well. It was really good to see Terrell Thomas, be active in the secondary as well. He almost had an interception on that jump pass to Tony Romo. The secondary played really well. And I felt like the rookie offensive lineman had a solid game as well, too.
Appreciate the phone call. Thanks so much for weighing in. And one other report I want to throw out here. Mike Garofolo of Fox Sports is now reporting that the Giants will bring in Brandon Jacobs tomorrow for a workout.
So among a large group of running backs.
Correct. So multiple running backs will probably come to the facility to demonstrate their skills for the Giants. It's no surprise. The Giants are exploring their options. Whether or not they sign someone will remain to be seen. But now that we're past week one, as John and I mentioned earlier in the show, you no longer have to guarantee the contract to the veteran running back. And that's why I think the Giants are stepping up their game, and they're reportedly a little bit more aggressive than they had been in prior weeks.
I want to go through a couple of tweets real quick. Ted Crum, first fumble by Wilson was a missed block by Hanoski. That is correct. Hanoski did have a few missed blocks in that first quarter. He wants to put that second interception on Scott, not Eli. He didn't get his head around. Look at Eli's reaction. Well, how do you know Eli didn't throw it before Scott got his head around? So clearly he didn't get his head around in time. I know that. But is that because Scott was late or because Eli was early? I don't know the answer to that question.
I'd also throw the offensive line into the blame.
Yeah, because pressure forced the screen to get out of rhythm. That's an excellent point.
Can't overlook the fact that the offensive line had issues with pass protection and also just the execution of screenplays.
Aaron Laporte, all Giant fans know they never won an opening night. What's all the fuss about? And I guess there's some truth to that.
That's true. They've lost their last three season openers.
And Joey and Ted both point out on that Len first prediction play, and I made the point later on that the first play was the interception. The second play from scrimmage was the deep Knicks pass. So still, I'll give Len some credit. It was the second play from scrimmage, not the first. I can't give the guy a little bit of credit. Come on.
Well, apparently Twitter doesn't want to give
no
credit. That's the bottom
no
line.
No one wants to give Len any no credit. I still thought it was a pretty good job out of him. Whoops. Oh, man. Marcus Erickson, that Dallas fan is as much a homer of the Giants as DeTito is for the Cowboys as DeTito is for the Giants.
That's got to take the prize.
That dude
today.
That dude needs to get some perspective. No surprise comes from Marcus Erickson, who we always say is probably our funniest tweeter. Let's see.
And it's comical that DeTino was the one that recommended this guy call in. We're going to have to get to the bottom of this. I want to see the type of interaction that DeTino had with him in Dallas. Did they go to the barbecue, grill, or something together?
Maybe they walked together.
Yeah, apparently. They may have went on a power
maybe
walk.
Maybe he had a power walking
correct
partner
during the early morning hours in Arlington. That must have been quite a scene.
Lauren M. Skip can't believe the Giants had six turnovers last night. How do they expect to win? Eli throwing picks. That was crap. Well, I think the Giants probably felt the same way. Let's take Coach Tom Coughlin's post-game press conference. He didn't use that word, but that, I think, pretty much sums it up. Let's see. Doug Borington. Let's see. I moved my page here too quickly. Do you think the Giants honestly will invite Jacobs in for a tryout? Yeah, I mean, I think they'll bring him in, see what he has left in the tank. John Forster, if the Giants sign a running back, did they let Darrell Scott go? I think it's a possibility. We'll see. I think he showed a little bit in that game. Did he show enough to stay on the team? Maybe. I think that kind of remains to be seen. They can always move Adewale Ojomo back to the practice squad if they have to, and then hold on to Scott, Cox, and whatever additional running back that they bring onto the roster.
He also had five receptions last night, so he was involved in the passing game. I'm not saying that Darrell Scott's going to be a huge difference maker down the stretch. I just don't know if the Giants are in a position where they can afford to part ways with a running back.
Ted Crum, Pugh played well. He was beaten one time all night, held his own even against Ware. I didn't see Ware over him much at all, to be honest with you, in that game. He was a couple times, but not much. And I thought Selvey made a couple plays on it, to be honest with you. Look, was Pugh bad? No, he wasn't bad. I think for a first game for rookie, he played pretty well. But he wasn't great either. That's the way I'll put it.
Room for improvement. I mean, this was his first career start.
Let's see. I think that's pretty much all the good ones here that we got. So we got a couple new ones off the top of the show here. The guy apparently called into the show last week, according to Marcus Erickson, does not think he and DeTino met in Dallas. That's disappointing. I would have liked to see what that interaction was like.
Some of the reactions to the caller now that I'm catching up with some older tweets are quite comical.
I didn't think he was that out of left field. Look, I don't think the Cowboys dominated the game, like you said, but I think the other points he made were fair.
I think Giants fans are just annoyed, and Len, I think, is starting this movement that a Cowboys fan has the audacity to call in a Giants.com program. That's what I think has rubbed Giants faithful the wrong way this morning.
It's like the East Sider going onto the West Side.
Correct.
People don't like it.
Yes.
It's very territorial.
We'll have to find out, and maybe we should have asked Mickey Spagnuolo yesterday on the pregame show whether or not he gets any phone calls from the Giants faithful on their Cowboy programs.
I would say probably not. Just guessing. I can send that email, though, and find out.
We may want to further this storyline.
And I know the theme here, Giant fans, and let me put it this way to you, just for a little perspective. I know a lot of the theme here was, look, if it wasn't for the six turnovers, we would have won the game, right? Well, to be fair, last year against Dallas, when the Giants beat the Cowboys and the Cowboys had their five turnovers, I didn't hear any Giant fans trying to give back that win after the Cowboys outgained them in terms of yardage and would have won that game if they didn't turn the ball over five times. So, guys, every year it goes a different way. So the win still goes the way it goes, and turnovers are a huge problem. And that just shows you why Tom Coughlin makes it such a focus and why takeaways and turnovers are so important. You can outgain a team by 150 yards. Your defense can play well. Your quarterback can throw for 450 yards in a game. All great things. Your cornerbacks can shut down Dez Bryant. You cannot allow a play over 25 yards the entire game. All these great things happen. Do you know why none of them ended up mattering? Because you turn the ball over six times in the game. And those types of mistakes will kill you every single time. We looked at the numbers before the game, Lance, in terms of takeaways and turnovers and how last year it determined whether the Giants would win or lose. In their nine wins, they were 31 takeaways. In their seven losses, they only had four, I believe was the exact number if I recall properly. That's how important takeaways and turnovers are. And when you do that last night, and this is why David Wilson got benched, this is why Tom Coughlin was so annoying in his press conference, that's going to make you lose football games. You have to show respect for the football. The Giants did not do that yesterday in all three phases. We didn't even talk about the special teams turnover in this game.
Yeah.
That was a bad luck situation. The ball kind of just bounced into him. But you have to keep your eye on the ball. If Randall's going to wave everybody off, you got to get away from the ball. You can't be running towards it. Little details. That, two hands on the football, getting your head turned around at the proper time on the screen, offensive line giving Eli enough time to execute that screen properly, Eli not throwing the ball a second or two early. All those things go into it. Small mistakes can sometimes have big consequences.
Tom Coughlin stresses turnovers, the battle with regard to the turnovers. When you win that ratio, you put yourself in a position to win. It's as simple as that. And I know we're basically stating the obvious, but that's been the trend throughout the course of the Giants franchise history. Six turnovers, it doesn't matter how good your offense performs, you are not putting yourself in a position to succeed. So they've got to correct those issues. And then if they can repeat even half of what they did last night from an offensive perspective and their defense holds up, you know, they should be in the game with the Broncos next week. But if you turn the ball over anywhere from four to six times, you know, this is not going to be the recipe for success this year.
Victor does confirm he is, in fact, in Korea, by the way. So thank you for being out there, Victor, and obviously serving the country. Let's save the picks for tomorrow. Wolfson Time and Tomorrow Show. We'll go through everyone's picks for the games tomorrow. It's already 11 o'clock. We should really say adios here and get to work. Lance, excellent job as always. Thank you very much, my friend.
Look forward to chatting with you tomorrow.
Get a nice nap in today. I want you to be nice and refreshed for tomorrow,
oh, yeah.
Okay?
Thankfully, I'm not trying out for this team, so I don't need too much rest.
I think the Giants are more thankful than that.
Oh, I think they are.
201-939-4513. Great job on the phones. Great job on Twitter. We'll see you tomorrow morning at 9:30 on Giants.com. As we continue to react and find out the consequences of this game, hopefully more news on Prince Amukamara, the extent of his concussion. It did not look like a good one, obviously, watching it when it happened. Ryan Mundy really giving a shot, accidental one, obviously, right to the head. So we'll see what happens with that. We'll keep you updated on Giants.com. And we'll see you next time. Tomorrow morning, 9:30, Big Blue Kickoff Live. Lance and I will be back. Be there. Talk to you tomorrow morning. Have a good one.